last week I was talking to somebody at the fellowship dinner, and we were talking about the Beatitudes and the sermon series and what we're going through. And today we're in Matthew 5:8, and they were talking about, you know, I can really see where you're going. I'm like, okay, tell me, you know? And they were saying, well, we spent some time in 1 Peter and we were going through and we were talking about what it means to give your life to Christ, to become that new creation in Christ and be transformed and be changed. And now we're going through the Beatitudes, and it's like, what happens to you after that transformation? This is what that transformation produces. These different attitudes in our life. You know? And today we're really getting into it a little bit more, and we're almost done. You know, we have at least this week and 2 more weeks. We got Easter in there and Palm Sunday. So we're going to be into it a little bit in April. But today we're talking about what it means to be pure in heart. It says in Matthew 5:8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. I'm going to say that again. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Wow. You know, you can just read that and go, well, I'm pure. I'm going to see God someday. But what does it really mean? You know, I think the world looks around and the world sees the outside appearance. It's more concerned about what's going on outside. You look a certain way, you do a certain thing, you buy a certain car, you have a certain job, you have a certain house with a certain picket fence outside, and you have this idea and you're successful. You should be satisfied. I think we look at this beatitude and we see that the emphasis is right. It's correct. Because it's about what's going on the inside. You know, what's your heart condition? You know, it's not about making a good impression on the world. It's about serving the world. Why? So they will come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. That God may use us to bring someone into the kingdom. That's why we go out into the world. Because you know what, church? It'd be really easy as a church just to buy a big acreage somewhere, build up a big fence, move in, have a cross in the middle, and just worship Jesus the rest of our lives here on this earth. You know, it'd be easier to be a Christian, it'd be easier to walk. But you know what? That's not what we're designed to do. We're designed to go outside the walls, even this building, and share the gospel with other people. By the way we walk, the way we live, and all that starts on the inside. What's the condition of your heart? I think human beings, our tendencies are, is to put up a good front. We want to look like this so you are impressed. We don't want you to know what's going on in the inside. And how dare you question my heart condition? How dare you know about what's going on in my personal life? The Pharisees made the same mistake. They would say, clean your hands. Wash your hands. Don't sit with that person. They had all these laws. And some of those laws came from God, and some of those laws were man-made traditions that were built up so you wouldn't break those laws. And it got really confusing. They all did what they could to make the outside look good and to make the outside look clean, to be acceptable for God. But Jesus says, clean your heart. Clean your heart instead of clean your hands. Well, how can you know my heart's clean? I go get a test. I just had a checkup this week. Everything's good. You know? But really, it's the condition of your heart, the attitude of your heart. He reserved the harshest words for those who mask their hearts, who hide their hearts. Matthew 23:25 says, woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees. Then he gets mad. You hypocrites! You clean the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence. Well, that doesn't sound like a very pure heart, does it? I don't think so. Many times we read the Gospels, Jesus saw the wicked intentions of the heart, and he got upset. He was concerned. Because he understood that you could not work your way into heaven. Nothing you could do, nothing you could say, no much money you can give could earn your way to heaven. Why? Because, we talked about this a few weeks ago, because by nature, we are children of wrath. Let me translate that. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There's no one good. Not one. Do I need to translate that? When we get up in the morning and comb our hair over, I had a roommate in college. It was hilarious. Because I really didn't comb my hair. But he would get up in the morning and he would take a blow dryer and he would go 10 times on this side, switch hands, blow dryer still going, 10 times, every morning, 10 times, put that down, take the hairspray. It's funny now because he's bald. And I still tease him about it to this day. It's awesome. You know? We seem to be concerned about that. Jesus isn't concerned about our hairstyle. He's more concerned about our heart condition. You know, and our main idea today is this beatitude reminds us that God is not focused on the outward appearance or our performance. He's concerned about our relationship with Him, our heart condition. God is very concerned with our attitude of our heart. I mean, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed. If you want to live a blessed life, you need to look at your heart. You need to look at the attitude of your heart, the condition of your heart, because out of that, everything else comes. I want to say without regular maintenance on your heart, you're going to have issues to deal with, and you won't make it very far. Christianity ultimately is more than just a matter of doctrine or understanding. Now listen, I love doctrine. I love to study it. I love to understand it. And I probably spent way too much time reading big books with little words and that makes me go, But when it comes down to it, he is concerned about the condition of our heart. Not the knowledge that we put in, not the understanding that we put in, but he wants our heart knowledge. Because none of that stuff makes sense until our hearts have been transformed. And then it becomes important. I've met a lot of people that know their Bible. They can quote verses. They can lay it out. But when it comes down to it, when the punctuation's all done, they have no idea what it means. I'm thinking to myself, you read your Bible and you memorized your Bible. A little bit jealous that you can memorize so well. Down to the comma and the semicolon, but you couldn't put that in your own words and tell me what that means. What a waste of time. What a waste of energy. Man, if you're not going to follow God, but you know His Word, yeah, I can't even, I'm just going to be quiet. In the Beatitudes, Jesus forces us to look at our attitudes. He forces us to go, okay, if I want to be blessed, my heart needs to be pure, what does that mean in my life? Because he wants us to be a blessed Christian. He wants us to be a blessed church. If we want that, we have to check our hearts. Samuel, from the Old Testament, made the same mistake when he was looking for a future king for Israel. He was there among the sons of Jesse. And he's looking at all these men. And the Lord said to him, man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. 1 Samuel 16:7. Even though those guys were big and strong and intelligent and looked nice, they weren't the right person for him. Not the right person to be king, because that boy was out tending the sheep. There's a great proverb, Proverbs 21:2. All man's ways seemed right to him, but the Lord weighs the heart. The Lord puts the heart on the scale and see how it weighs out in him. That's where our attitudes, our convictions, our motives, our behavior, that's where everything is shaped. Proverbs 27:19, one of my favorite proverbs, as water reflects a face, so a man's heart reflects the man. Just like you look into a mirror and see who you are, see how nice your hair is, see how many nose hairs you have or whatever, to try to look good. When God looks at your heart, that's the same thing. And when you examine your heart, you should see the mirror of who you really are. You know? It's a tough thing to gauge. Me gauging your heart. Me gauging your heart. Because all I can see is the fruit of the spirit that you're following. But you can look at your heart, and if you truthfully look, you're going to see what kind of person you are. Because when God looks at us today, He pays little attention to our outward appearance, and He looks at the condition of our heart. Because that's who we really are. I had a professor that said, what you do at home, alone in the dark, is who you really are. Because that's where you play out your heart's desires. So, we are to be pure, and there are two ways. You're like, only a 2-point sermon? Ah, no. I'm still in the introduction. Matt laughs because he knows it's true. We are to be pure in two ways. The first way to be pure is to be right. Ah, be right. That's a good thing to be. Which is, as opposed to being wrong, which is not always a fun place to be. But not only being right opposed to being wrong, but being considered righteous. Like the song we just sang, we stand faultless before the throne. How do we stand faultless before the throne of God? When we come up to judgment and God looks at us, you know the last thing I want Him to see? You ready for this? I don't ever want Him to see Kelly. Because I'm a dirty, dirty sinner. I'm horrible. So, what makes you right? What makes you righteous? When I gave my life to Christ, I gave up my identity. And when God will look at me on the day of judgment, He will see His Son. It's my righteousness it doesn't even exist. Because I've traded that old life for a new life. And He will see the image of God. That's being right with God. The other way to be pure is to be true, not false. Our outward and our inward are in sync. When you have your heart right, and you're following the true ways of God, and you know what true knowledge is, and you understand what true love is, your outside is fixed. Ha! Not that you magically get a nice suit and tie put on you, but your actions, your behavior, you're transformed! See, let me tell you what the world says. The world says, if you do this, you do this, you do this, you do this, you'll be worthy. I had a person one time at one of the churches I served come up to me and said, yeah, I'm sorry I haven't been in church in 2 months. We've been going through a rough patch. I'm like, that's why you wouldn't answer your phone? That's why you wouldn't answer your door from your pastor or from elders or your church friends because you were going through a rough patch? Well, we have to be right and good to walk into the doors of the church. That's what the world says. But what I just said a minute ago is the exact opposite, isn't it? We come into the fellowship and we become transformed. Not that the people around us changes, but we're here because we have one thing in common. That's the grace and the mercy we talked about last week of Jesus Christ. We share that all. That is the bond that holds us together. Not the style of clothes you wear, not what year you were born, not the musical style, It's grace and the mercy of Jesus Christ. And that all starts when your heart is changed. Because like I said last week, we're going through the mercy beatitude. Once you understand what receiving mercy is, you can show mercy. In fact, that's all that you want to do. So today we need to humble ourselves and we need to accept the cleansing that comes from God. Nothing that we can do. We need to be quick to confess and quick to repent from our sins. To say sorry is a very hard thing to do because we're saying we're not good enough. We're not smart enough. But we have to make it second nature to us. When we mess up, seek forgiveness. Seek it. Confess it. I have wronged you. I have wronged you. Will you forgive me? Boy, that doesn't sound like the world's way at all, does it? But those who are pure in heart are transformed. They are blessed. There's this little weasel called, I'm probably saying this wrong, an ermine. You know what I'm talking about? Lives up in Minnesota. Maybe not. I live in Iowa here, so. Let me tell you about him. I wrote it down so I wouldn't forget. There's an animal in Minnesota. It's called the ermine. An ermine is a short-tailed weasel with the unique ability to change its dark brown fur to snow white in the winter. It's a defense mechanism. Okay? God created this animal with this feature to protect it from others. It instinctively protects its white coat against anything that would soil it. Because if that white coat gets ripped or bloody or dirty, when it turns white, the predator will get it or the hunters will get it. Because that coat is a pretty prized possession. But the fur hunters try to take advantage of this unusual trait. They just don't set a snare to catch them, but instead they find their home. They follow it, they track it, find their home, usually in the cleft of a rock, or a hollow tree, or somewhere like that, and they smear that entrance with dirt, with grime, with dye, with anything they can find that's going to change that white coat. Then they set their dogs loose to chase that weasel. And that weasel instinctively runs to its hole, its house, and you know what it does? So I read this, I figured the weasel just run in there and get all dirty. The weasel stops and will not go inside that hole because it doesn't want to mess up its pure white fur. So it gets caught. And the weasel's no more. Let me tell you something. For this weasel, purity is more precious than its own life. It'd rather be remain pure and white than even live. Purity of the heart needs to be that precious. When we're, and this goes back to a lot of things, church. Sometimes we have a hard time. I don't know. Let me ask. How many of you guys started a Bible reading plan here in January? How many of you guys are still doing it? Let me tell you something. If you're focused on your purity of your heart more than anything else, even more than your own life, you'll have no problem staying on track. You'll have no problem staying on schedule. You'll have no time making time to pray. You'll have no time turning off that wrong TV show, going to the wrong places, doing the wrong things. It'll be a lot easier to serve people. It'll be a lot easier, you ready for this one? To smile. Because let me tell you, when you're following the ways of the world, it's hard to smile. It's just hard to be happy. You can fake it for an hour or so, but really, it's hard. And it's exhausting. That's why so many Christians fall asleep during a football game. And he wasted all that energy smiling on Sunday morning. You get my joke? Okay, you can laugh. It's okay. It's my sarcasm coming out. But let me tell you, when it just comes natural, man, it's so much easier. Purity of the heart ought to be as precious or more precious than our lives. But being pure goes beyond just being righteous. It also means being true. Now, we kind of talked about that a little bit, but I want to get back into that. Psalm 24, 3 and 5. 3 through 5. Who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? Ready? Here's the answer. He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to an idol or swear by what is false. He will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from God, his Savior. No double allegiance, fully devoted in all things to your one and true love, that is Jesus. There is no other idols. Do you want to ascend the hill? Do you want to come into the presence of God? How about this? Do you want your sins forgiven? That's vindication, right? What's it say? Clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul or swear by what is false, who does not bow down to other idols, who does not give in to the temptations that come from other idols, whether it be something made of metal or stone or just the almighty dollar of America. Well, I can't do that. I have to do this. Or just, you know what? My free time. I worship that. Free time is so precious, Kelly. So precious. I can't waste my time at church when I'm on vacation. You know what? I've worked my whole life. Now I'm retired. That means I get to do what I want. And you're just reverting back to the way you were before you were Christian. I want it my way. I want to do it my way. I'm 3 years old again. I could do it myself. I could do it my... You guys all heard that before, right? Man, our purpose remains the same. Jesus. Our purpose remains the same. When the heart is not pure, you'll want to do one thing, and you want people to think that you're doing another. The Pharisees praise him with their lips, but their hearts are far from him. And they did not see God. My action and my heart must be in sync. This is a person of integrity. And such a person will encounter God. There was a deacon. Now, this is going to be good because it's a story about a deacon. A deacon and his son were driving down a country road and saw a watermelon patch. It was just a little bit off the highway, and the deacon told his son to keep a lookout while he snuck into the watermelon patch to find a good melon to bring home. Harriet's like, oh, deacons. It's going to be recorded too, see, every week. He snuck into the patch, took the melon, and called to the boy, son, is there anyone coming? Look both ways. The boy wisely responded, here it comes. But daddy, shouldn't we look up too? The pure in heart need to look up. Where is your focus? You know, God is watching. You know, that doesn't motivate people very much anymore. No, God's watching you. God knows. But Kelly, I was by myself. Yeah, God knows. He knows. And he knows that you have no way to hide from him. Those who are impure in heart, that's why they will see God. Because they look up. Not that they will physically see God, but that he is constantly, the person, is constantly aware of his presence. The presence of God. And he knows that he is walking with God, and he's trusting in God, and he's always in God's presence. And that means something to him. The pure in heart can see God with eyes of faith. We know that He is ours and we are His. We trust. We have faith. We know God is there. We can feel Him. And you know what the best thing is? We enjoy it. You're going to a worship service? Why? I enjoy it. You're hanging out at small group? And that's when Dancing with the Stars is on. I enjoy it. Do I always get a lot done in small group? No, but I enjoy it. I enjoy it. Why? Because I'm with my brothers, I'm with my sisters, and we're together. And it's fun reading the Bible. It's fun studying stuff. It's fun. I enjoy it. That's seeing God. You know, we need to cultivate that heart. We need to cultivate that purity in our heart. We need to stir it up sometimes. Otherwise, it grows stale. You know? Believe that God is your only chance of a pure heart. Church, really, your attitude comes down to focus. What's your focus? Is it stuff or is it Jesus? That's a good question to ask. You know, we're coming into Easter. You know? Oh, Easter, that's a big day for the church. Is it? Really, every day is our Easter, ain't it? You know? You didn't know where I was going with that, did you? Like, what, you're going to bash on Easter? No, Easter's a good time. People come to church on Easter. We have a breakfast on Easter. It's good stuff. But you know what? We gather together every Sunday, and every Sunday is about the resurrection, and every Sunday is how we follow the resurrected Christ. You know, some people get out of shape because we don't have a big cross hanging on our wall. The cross is empty. The tomb is empty. Our God's not there. You know, He's with us. He's in our heart. That's how we know He lives, right? I just went old hymn on you there. You know? We need to trust in Him. We need to be quick to confess and repent. And we need to really learn what it means to say, create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. That was David, a man after God's own heart. There we go. You know, he humbled himself after sin. You know, the whole David and Bathsheba thing. Created me a clean heart. Renew a steadfast spirit within me so I can stand. You know, we need to choose to be authentic. Not putting on a mask, not putting on a front, but choose to be real. You know, that's hard to do, ain't it? This is who I am. Deal with it. Well, Kelly, you can't be like that. You're a pastor. Well, you're a Christian. We have the same criteria. You know, you can't do that. You can't go there. I'm with God. I'm being real. I'm talking. You have to choose to be real. You have to choose to be honest. You have to choose to be true. You have to choose to be authentic. And the word that I like is you have to be intentional about it. Because really, we're taught from little kids to put on masks. Jesus says, take off your mask. Unmask your heart. Lay it out there. But Kelly, what if it gets smashed? I ain't gonna lie, it hurts. It hurts. But your heart's not yours anymore. And God will take care of it. Because when your heart hurts, His heart hurts. They're the same heart. Are you seeing it? Our attitude should that be that of Jesus. That's why He calls us to watch our heart. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things. We have to watch our hearts. You know why? Our hearts are going to get us into trouble. Every time. You know, I have a friend that spent some time in prison. Spent 10 years in federal prison. I'm always asking him questions about it. He goes, the one thing that's the hardest is to fall back into that criminal thinking. Because it's really easy. Because when you're a criminal, you don't follow the laws. He goes, I never understood why people got so upset. I didn't follow the same laws. I followed my laws. If I wanted that car, I'd take that car. If I wanted those drugs, I'd take those drugs. If I wanted the drug dealer's money, I'd just take the money. And when you become a Christian, it's not about you anymore. It's not about your wants. It's not about your desires. But it's about what God wants. He goes, I can't fall back into that attitude. I can't fall back into that state of mind because it's really easy. And He said something to me. He said, I have to watch my heart. Church, it's easy for a drug dealer to say that. Because that's pretty bad. Well, what about us? You know, we're just casual everyday sinners. It's not that bad. It's not that bad. You know what? It'll still send you to hell. It'll still send you there. Golly, I was just gossiping. He killed somebody. Yep. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Watch your hearts. Guard them. You know, there's this thing in China. It's called the Great Wall. Anybody ever heard of it? You know why the Great Wall of China was built? To keep people out. To keep the hordes out that kept coming in. So they built this wall that was too tall to climb over, too thick to go through, too long to go around. But in its first 100 years of existence, China was invaded 3 times. You know how? They didn't go over the wall. They didn't go through the wall. They didn't go around the wall. They bribed the person at the gate. They spent so much time worrying about outward appearance, if you will, outward structures, that they didn't focus enough on the character of the soldiers guarding the wall. And really, church, our hearts, ready for this? Our hearts show our behavior. Our hearts reveal our actions. Our hearts reveal who our God is. And if you don't guard it, you're going to fall back into your desires. Because Satan's always there. Go with me on this. He's always trying to bribe the gatekeeper, which happens to be you. It'll be so easy to. You can have this. You don't have to do that. Don't allow Satan to bribe you. Guard your heart. Watch your heart. Because the attitude of your heart is everything. And let me ask you today, how is your heart? How pure is it? You know, another way of asking that is, have you ever experienced God? Blessed are those who are pure in heart, for they will see God. You ever experienced Him? Are you devoted to God? Have you taken that command of picking up your cross, giving up your life, and going after Him? Are you the same no matter who you're with, what you're talking about, or where you're going? Are you authentic? It all comes back to that relationship with Jesus. Do you know Him? Do you know Him? And maybe today you don't know Him and you're back there going, you know what? My heart's not very pure. I invite you to come forward as we sing. You know, I invite you to come forward and say, hey, I need to talk to you. Maybe you don't want to come forward. That's the last thing you want to do. I encourage you to, but if you want to talk to me at the back door, set up an appointment, let's get together. Maybe you're realizing that you're not going the right direction and the attitude of your heart isn't what it's supposed to be. You know, I ask you today to repent. Give your life back to God and follow Him. And you can do that. You know, I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray for me. And we're going to sing, and I invite you to come forward while we sing. But let's pray. Father, I just thank you today. I thank you for the words of Matthew that are actually the words of your Son. And they're given to us to show what that transformation looks like. Father, I ask you today to show us what our hearts look like. Father, for each person in this room, Father, reveal to them what their hearts are. Father, if there's that area of the hearts that's not totally given to you, Father, I ask you to reveal that to them. So that area that is dark can have the light. Father, allow us as a church to be totally devoted to you as we guard our hearts and as we look into what it is. Father, allow us to focus on you, the center of everything that we are. You're the center of this world, the center of creation, Father. And as we come into who you are, allow us to be devoted to that. It's not about us. It's not about us. For we aren't good enough. But you are. And your Son is, and His sacrifice is, and His sacrifice brings us out of the chasm of sin and puts us in to right standing with you. Father, reveal to us today where we're standing. Are we in your will? Are we in your grace? Are we in your mercy? Or are we out doing our own thing, creating us a clean heart? And Father, renew in us a spirit that will not move from you. For you are our God, and we follow you today. Be with us as we sing. And Father, be with us as we gather around your table. And remember the sacrifice. Father, we thank you for your resurrection. We thank you for the life-changing transformation that has happened. Father, it's all because of the most precious name. That name is Jesus, that we can say amen today. Father, amen. You may stand and sing.